We are recording and all ready to go. The floor is yours.
Very good. Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. It's 6 p.m. I would like to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, June 15th, 2021. We have a roll call, please.
Chair Martin.
Here.
At this point, Vice Chair Shire was absent. Commissioner Guthrie.
Here.
Commissioner Maravilla.
Here.
And Commissioner Sage.
Here.
I did receive a message from Commissioner Shiloh before the meeting indicating he's in transit. I'm confident he will be joining us shortly. We all stand for the flag. Absolutely. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very good, thank you very much. And an agenda review for my fellow commissioners. Anybody would like to make any changes to the agenda at this time? I do know that City Manager McDonald would like to have a introduction at this point, so before we continue to the next item on there, I'm happy to welcome Whitney McDonald. There you go. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to introduce you to our new Community Development Director, Brian Pedrotti. He's on the screen here. Brian joined us yesterday, so today is his second day. He's got quite the task list already for day three. And so I'm happy to introduce him to our commission this evening and to the public who may be watching. He will also be introduced to our city council at its next meeting on June 22nd. Brian joins us most recently from the county of San Luis Obispo, where he has been a planner for several years. How many years, Brian? Eight?
18.
Just 18. Out of 10. Yes. He does have a master's in urban planning from the University of Kansas and a bachelor of science degree in biology, essentially from UC Davis. We're incredibly excited for Brian to join us. He comes to us with a lot of excitement for the opportunity to serve the community. If I may add, he is an Arroyo Grande resident, and so brings with him that extra added emphasis concern and interest in our local community. And so we're incredibly excited for him to join us. So without further ado, Brian is here to say hi to everybody. He will also be here for the meeting this evening, and will be reaching out as well to meet everybody individually to just kick things off and get us started again. It's really a pleasure as well to be here. We are on June 15th. It's a momentous day where we are reopening City Hall completely and resuming our services as per usual. And so it's essentially a new beginnings for a lot of us. So good timing. With that, I will hand it over. I don't know, Brian, if you wanted to say anything.
Thanks, Whitney. You know, I'm just excited to, as Whitney said, I'm excited to start. I've been with the county for 18 years. I've worked in other jurisdictions, city of San Jose and Livermore in California, and then city and county of Lawrence and Douglas County in Kansas. So worked on a lot of long-range projects. I'm just excited to start. It looks like we've got a really good staff. I've only been here, like Whitney said, for 2 days, but I can see that just getting ready to start working with all of you on the Planning Commission and get going.
Very good. Thank you very much. Welcome aboard. Thank you. No doubt you will be busy in the coming days and weeks. For one point of clarification, Whitney, when you are returning to normal on-site business, can you talk about Friday hours? Do we have Friday closure, Friday opening? How is that going to be impacting for the people in the community?
Yes, good point. So we are resuming our hours as they were pre-pandemic. So that does mean we will remain closed on Fridays, even though staff is working, but it allows us to make sure we're getting our, have an opportunity to continue working on projects and responding to emails and completing things during that time. So for the time being, we are remained closed to the public on Fridays. And then it just as an additional point, so everybody is aware, we are planning to resume in-person meetings of the City Council, Planning Commission, ARC, other advisory bodies, beginning with the City Council's July 27th meeting. So Council is dark the first meeting of July, and that's their next July meeting is the 27th, and with that we will be resuming in-person public meetings and providing a hybrid option that will enable the public and consultants, staff, and to, I believe, as necessary for members of our commission and our council to attend remotely if needed. And it also allows for the public to just avail themselves of that opportunity just to add that extra avenue of engagement. So far, it seems like it's been beneficial for our community. And so we're going to work through that process. It does require some technology to be implemented. And so we're not totally sure if it's going to be fully available and ready for July 27th, but we're shooting for that date, if not certainly in August. So we will be looking forward to having our Planning Commission meetings again in person. I guess the one caveat there as well is we're still waiting on a permanent Brown Act revisions, or at least potential revisions. We're still operating under an executive order issued by the governor that allows us to meet in this fashion on Zoom. Ordinarily, to do this, we'd have to post our location and allow people to come in where you are, even, you know, at your home, and then have, I believe we'd still have to have people in the jurisdiction. All that with COVID essentially was waived. We're still operating under those waivers. The legislature is working on some Brown Act revisions currently, and so we anticipate those will be coming forward and may impact the way we offer that remote option in the future.
Very good. Thank you very much. And just for the record, for those that were not with us at the beginning of the meeting, Commissioner Shiro has been able to join us and is now in attendance. Next item of item 5 is the community comments and suggestions portion. This public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on the agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. Members of the public may provide public comment remotely by joining the Zoom meeting utilizing one of the methods provided on the agenda. Those that are there, please use that raise hand feature to indicate your desire, and to the support staff here on our meeting, is there anybody in the queue that is interested in speaking at this point in time?
If you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand. If you are calling in by phone, please dial *9 to raise your hand. Chair Martin, there are no raised hands.
Very good. Thank you very much. With that then, I will close the public comment period for this point in the meeting. And we'll continue to item 6 is written communications. I did receive one. I'm assuming my fellow commissioners also received one. Are there other written communications that we need to acknowledge at this time before we continue with the meeting?
Chair Martin, there are no other written communications for the commission.
Very good. Thank you very much. Next item is the consent agenda. We have one item on the consent agenda, is consideration of approval of minutes. The recommended action that we approve the minutes of our June 1st regular Planning Commission meeting. I will so move. Looking for a second.
Second.
I've got a Sage, and we have a roll call, please. Oh, Mr. Perez, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, just one thing staff noticed after publishing the packet, there should have been an added recommendation for the City Council to consider more narrow streets than what are included in the circulation element. So we would like to revise the minutes to include that recommendation.
Very good. Now, where is that, just so we can all kind of look at that? This item 8C.
Yes, that was item 8B.
Okay. And so the commissioners will take note of that revision to item 8B. My motion stands. I'm hoping that Mr. Sage's second stands, and may we have a roll call vote, please.
Chair Martin?
Aye.
Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
Vice Chair Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Guthrie?
Yes.
And Commissioner Maravilla?
Yes.
Very good. The agenda is approved. The minutes of the prior meeting are approved. Item 8, we have a single public hearing item. The consideration of tentative parcel map 21-001 and a planned unit development 20-001, a subdivision of one parcel into two parcels and construction of two new single-family residences at 1250 Farrell Avenue. The applicant being Bahan Singh, and the representative is Mr. Grace Soto. I'm assuming we have a staff report on this item. Staff, you're on.
Thank you, Chair Martin. Good evening, members of the commission, general public, associate planner Andrew Perez. I'll be making the presentation for this project proposed at 1250 Farrell Avenue. So the project site is located in the multifamily zoning district. It is surrounded by both detached and attached single family residential units. The project site was originally a drainage basin that's handled stormwater from Tract 398, from which it is a part of. The drainage basin became obsolete with the development of Tract 2310 immediately adjacent to the west of the project site when public improvements were made to handle stormwater. And that was in the early 2000s, and the project site has remained vacant and available for development ever since. The applicant is proposing to split the existing 10,204 square foot parcel and construct two single family dwellings. Lot A in the proposed project would be 5,491 square feet and would be developed with a 2,456 square foot residence. Lot B would be a 4,713 square foot lot, and the home on that lot is proposed at 1,917 square feet. Both these homes would be two-story, three bedrooms with an attached two-car garage, associated landscaping, and an access driveway. Single-family residential units are on small lots are allowed in the multifamily zoning district with a planned unit development permit. And a tentative parcel map is required for the division of the parcel into the two buildable lots. Site plan was kind of too large to be visible on a single slide, so I broke it up into Lot A and Lot B. Lot A on your left abuts Farrell Avenue. This is the larger of the two, as I mentioned, a two-story single-family and attached garage on probably the left two-thirds of the lot approximately, whereas the right third of the lot is dedicated to the shared driveway. A similar situation with Lot B behind, a slightly smaller lot, but same two-story house with an attached garage. The general plan land use designation for this parcel is medium-high density residential. This zoning designation or general plan designation allows up to 9 dwelling units per acre. And this project proposing two units on the approximately 0.23 acre site. It comes out to about 8.6 dwelling units per acre, so consistent with what the general plan calls for. Additionally, the general plan contains policies in the land use element that support this project, specifically 11-1 and 11-2. And kind of and a similar character with those in the surrounding developments. Looking at the multifamily zoning district, the primary purpose of this district is to provide areas for a variety of residential uses, include small lot single family homes, attached multifamily units, senior housing, and PUDs. And looking at planned unit development specifically, the purpose behind them is to allow flexibility to that allows for the more efficient use of land than would otherwise be possible if we implemented the development standards of the underlying zone. So the deviation of certain development standards could include those such as lot area, lot dimensions, and the setbacks. So here's a table that's taken from the staff report for this item. You can see that the two lot sizes are slightly smaller than the minimum building site for the multifamily zone. There's also some deviations in lot depth and some of the setbacks. So all of these are allowed with the approval of the PUD permit by this commission. Looking at access and parking for this project, both lots would share a driveway that takes access from Farrell Avenue. A shared driveway and maintenance agreement outlining the access rights and maintenance responsibilities for both the driveway itself and the drainage facilities beneath the driveway will be required prior to occupancy as a condition of approval. The parking requirement for a planned unit development is very similar to that of a single-family residence, but there's the additional requirement to provide guest parking at 0.5 spaces per unit. So for this particular project, we're looking at a requirement of two parking spaces and a garage for each unit, and then one guest space between them, which is being provided in this application. Looking at the architecture, the architect has brought forward a Mediterranean style architecture. Characteristics of the style include low pitched tile roofs, stucco siding, and kind of the use of archways, especially in the entry, but really throughout the entire design. Both houses will use a color palette consisting of some light browns and tan, dark brown for the stain for fascia and corbels, and terracotta tile for the roof. One unique aspect of planned unit developments is the requirement to provide open space. This requirement is established by the table in the municipal code 2.050. So the amount of open space is really dictated by the amount of private open space provided, as you can see in this table. Private open space is defined as open space that is directly accessible by residents that live in a particular unit. It may include private patios, decks, balconies, porches, and any associated yard areas. So this particular project proposes an average of more than 1,000 square feet of private open space on each lot, so zero common open space is required, and 45% of the lot of the project area is required to meet the definition of usable open space. So usable open space is defined as it's essentially everything that private open space is, plus areas for common landscaping, pedestrian access, or recreation. The project is proposing nearly 5,000 square feet of usable open space, which is 49% of the project area and greater than the 45% requirement. Therefore, they are compliant with this this requirement. This project did go before the staff advisory committee, both as a pre-application and later on for discussion about conditions of approval. The staff advisory committee is supportive of the project as proposed, subject to the conditions included in the draft resolution. And the project was also reviewed by the Architectural Review Committee back in March. The committee was very supportive of the project, especially the architectural style, design, materials, and colors. There was some concern with the second-story portion of the home on Lot A being too close to the western property line. The committee was concerned that the proximity of that second-story portion to the property line would create privacy issues as well as solar access issues. So they did add a condition requiring that that portion of the residence be shifted to the east, and that that condition has been complied with and is reflected in the plans that are under consideration this evening. Staff did review the project in accordance with the California Environmental Quality Act and determined that the project is exempt from further environmental review pursuant to section 15332 of the CEQA guidelines for infill development. Projects that qualify for this exemption must be on sites of less than 5 acres, consistent with our general plan and zoning regulations, and must not result in significant environmental impacts, and we're able to make all those determinations. Prior to this evening's meeting, a notice of public hearing was mailed to all the property owners within 300 feet of the project site. That notice was also published in the newspaper, posted at City Hall, and on the city's website 10 days prior to tonight's meeting. Tonight's agenda and staff report were also posted at City Hall and on the website in accordance with our typical government code regulations. And no public comment has been received since the posting of either of these items. So in conclusion, staff does recommend that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving tentative parcel map 21-001 and planned unit development 20-001. If there are any questions at this time, I'd be happy to answer those for the commission. And we also have the applicant here should there be any other questions for him. So thank you.
Okay. Before the applicant steps up, I'm wondering if there are questions for staff on this particular item. Mr. Sage?
Thank you. Andrew, I noticed on the property, I think it's on the southwest corner of the property, there's a very large utility pole, which looks like it's got electrical at the top and cable about halfway down. But I noticed in our staff report that the applicant would be required to underground the overhead utility lines. Now, if that's true, how far back does that go that the applicant would be responsible for? Because the cable just completely runs down parallel.
That's a good question. I would refer to the, I believe it's in the grading plan. But perhaps not, but it's, so at least for the project site, I know this item was, you know, discussed extensively with our engineering staff and public work staff, and then they've come to a conclusion and to a solution that works for both the city staff and the applicant. I can't really pinpoint where or how long they'll be undergrounded, but getting rid of that utility pole and the eucalyptus tree at the front of the site will be a drastic improvement.
Okay, so basically then it's the applicant is going to be responsible pretty close about their particular property line, maybe a little bit more than that. But so the aerial cable would continue aerial past that point and then come down to an underground vault.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Guthrie, you have a question?
Yeah, I'd ask this question in an email, but just to get it into the record, is I was wondering about the, I'll call it the governance of the guest space. You did point out that there are CCNRs, but it's not mentioned in the CCNRs. I'm just wondering if, is that something that just gets picked up later on, or does it need to be clarified here in the approval?
it would be something that would be handled later on by staff during our review of the CCNRs, but I think it definitely couldn't hurt adding a to refine that condition to ensure that guest parking space is utilized for guests and that doesn't become a permanent parking spaces for one of the property owners.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Shirey, you have questions for staff at this time? No? And Ms. Maravilla? No? I don't really have questions. I've got some more comments I think we're going to make. I'll save that for a later time. If the applicant is here, I'm hoping if the applicant would like to make a statement of any type to help inform us, or at least to acknowledge that they're here and ready to answer questions of the commissioners. I see Greg Soto. I'm assuming Greg, you're there. I'm hoping the people that help facilitate the mechanics of this meeting are able to get you to raise your hand or do whatever they need to do in order to get you involved in the meeting.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Thank you.
Okay. All right, I'm here. I'm here to answer any questions as needed. The staff report was pretty well done, so I'll be here anytime.
Very good. Any of the commissioners have questions for the developer at this time? Seeing none, it's open to the public. If there is anyone from the public that has any interest in making a public comment on this particular item, now is the time for them to be able to step forward.
Chair Martin, there is no public.
There's no one here from the public. Very good. I will close the public hearing on this item at this time and return it back to the commissioners for any other comments or questions that they may have for either the staff or the applicant before I call for a vote on this item. I don't see a whole lot of activity. I have comments. I don't have a particularly strong opinion one way or the other on a specific problem. Any reason that we can't or shouldn't be approving it. I guess for my issue really sits as more one of a philosophical goal of what I call multifamily zoning. What it looks like here, what we're doing is just taking a relatively small 10,000 square foot lot that is really zoned and designed for multifamily housing development and splitting it into two relatively small but certainly fairly standard size SFR parcels that are going to end up as two single family homes just based on cost and size and et cetera. My expectation is both of these houses will end up in the top half of the cost curve when it comes to housing in the community. And even though our goal here is to be providing multifamily and affordable housing to aspects of the community, this development, in my opinion, will not do that. And that's kind of a sad commentary to me, but project is in compliance with the rules and regulations as detailed within the city. This is certainly a legal project and a legal development. I do have some concerns about the minimum front yard setback. I don't know, given the fact that this is a 5,300 square foot parcel, I don't understand why they should be granted a reduction from 20 feet to 15 feet in the front. I think the interior side yard setbacks, I think, have been addressed. Frankly, I'd like to see them greater than they are, but I think they have been addressed to some extent, and I'm willing to allow that to stand. Those are really the gist of my comments, and where my foundation really comes from is, as outlined by staff, we certainly talked about this as 8.7 units per acre, but if you read the local ordinance, the acres, typically in a development with both the developments on either side of this small parcel, the gross acreage included all the street dedications and public areas that were included in that ratio. If you exclude all the public areas from that, my guess is that the housing ratio would increase fairly substantially above that 9. This particular project, certainly it's within that 9 units per acre, and then basically a zero public area that's going to be deeded over to the city, you know, for that purpose. So in my mind, we're converting this from a multi-family medium high density or medium density project to a single family residential project. As here again, I may not be happy with it, but it certainly is legal in what they're trying to do. So I can't see objecting to it other than voicing my opinion as I am doing right now and here. Any other comments that we'd like to make? If not, I'm happy to entertain a motion. Sounds like there may be a couple of extra conditions based on the project that we've seen, and I think they can certainly be added or included at this time. Ms. Maravilla, please.
So my internet connection is getting a little creepy right now, so if I'm breaking up, I apologize. I just want to thank you, Chair Martin, for your comments on this. I agree completely. I think it's a shame that more units are not going into a multiple family development. So I thank you for bringing that up, and I agree completely.
Thank you.
I just make one more comment, and I don't want to sound like the defender of the applicant, but it is a very small parcel to do much with that was a drainage basin. So, if we were to say, let's just say we were to bring the golden hammer of the Planning Commission down and say, we're going to wait for a large, dense project on a lot this small, I think we might be waiting for a very, very long time. And so I would say in this case, it might be better with our housing crisis to actually take the two homes versus no homes, I guess.
I think I'll share that comment. And if we looked at this and did something like a triplex here or a fourplex, it'd be all driveway, driveway with some.
Right.
Some tall buildings pushed against the one property line.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's unfortunate. I'll just go into a little bit of history since I know it. At one point, they wanted to include this in the Parkside development. The owner of this property couldn't come to an agreement on a price, but they wanted to include it. But it would have still, I believe, been two additional units. It just would have actually probably increased the lot square footage of the two homes that are really tied up against it now. So, So I hear that, but sometimes I sort of agree. You have to kind of take what will actually fit the reality that's on the ground. But I do share the general comment that we don't want to see multifamily areas, I'm going to say, wasted, particularly when you have space when we could look at higher densities, even if single family units, just higher density single family units. Thanks.
And I think that's really the direction of the comment that I want to make. That, this is a nice project. I'm glad there are two houses going on there, not one. Here again, it's in compliance, with all the rules and guidelines within the city. There's no reason from a legal standpoint to do that. We can all have a personal opinion on what shades of gray the paint on the front of the building ought to be or other life issues. For me, it's more of a philosophical statement that the need in the community is great for medium density multifamily housing, and this particular project is not doing that. And I guess if nothing more, I'd kind of like to make a statement out there to other developers and future developments to at least consider trying to put in a more dense and multifamily related development rather than just assume that putting in 5,000 square foot lots to 2,000 square foot home is the appropriate solution. A small parcel like this is not going to change and alter or solve the housing dilemma that we have in the community. So, I wanted to be able to say that, and here was my opportunity to do so.
Appreciate that.
Any other
motion?
I'm ready for a motion. Mr. Guthrie, go ahead.
I'll move a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Arroyo Grande approving tentative parcel map 21-001 and planned unit development 20-001, located at 1250 Farrell Avenue, with the with an adjustment to the conditions of approval number 28 to include a reference to for the CCNRs to facilitate proper use of the guest parking space.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any other questions or any other conditions, changes that any of the other commissioners would like to add or comments that they would like to make at this point? Seeing none, I think we are ready for a vote, and we have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Guthrie?
Yes.
Vice Chair Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
Chair Martin?
Yes. The item passes on a vote of 5-0. At this time, we have no public hearing items. We have no new notices of administrative decisions made since our last meeting. As we wind down the meeting here tonight, any commission communication, any comments that would need to be shared at this time by the commissioners? Mr. Sage, you're
yes,
up.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Chair Martin. I've been sort of waiting to deliver this announcement until we were meeting face-to-face. Now, of course, it's a little bit more unsettling for me that we're, well, this is my way of welcoming Brian to the to our planning commission, but it's going to happen anyway. My wife and I are leaving Aurora Grande and the state of California. Mm-hmm. And therefore, tomorrow morning, I will be submitting my letter of resignation to the mayor and the city council as a commissioner. So, but I do want to thank each of you for your ability to communicate thoughts and ideas without finger pointing. And I think in many cases, it's helped me a lot from the point that some of you have brought up ideas that I, of course, had not considered, and in some cases they reinforced my opinion, and in other cases they caused me to reevaluate my opinion. So I thank you very much for that, appreciate it, and I wish you well. I'd also like to take the opportunity to thank our planning staff for preparing these darn documents. That seems to me to be a very tough job to be able to work day-to-day and get these documents down to the detail that's needed and the detail that helps us make intelligent decisions. So I want to thank both Petros and Patrick and all the planning staff. And Brian, it wasn't because of you that I'm leaving. So it is. So I will miss one less trip you have to make.
Oh, we got one meeting in, so...
There you go.
Good luck.
Thank you very much, Ken. You've become a personal friend of mine. You and I went to that APA training together several years ago, and since then our friendship has continued and I think been enhanced by your participation and our joint participation on this commission together. So good luck in your future endeavors. You certainly will be missed as a member of this commission.
I agree.
Here, here.
You're going to turn me into the old man on the commission now. So it's.
Thank you all.
Any other comments from the commissioners at this time? Mr. Shiro?
Yeah, I just wanted to, since Jim would probably ask me for the update anyway, but I just wanted to let everyone know that the Aurora Grande High School varsity baseball team is playing in the semifinal game of the CIF championships tomorrow at 4:30, I believe, is game time at AG High School.
Oh.
So we wish them well, and if they win that game, they go to the CIF finals.
Right.
And I want to apologize for being late today. I know you're looking at me going, he must have been playing golf, but I was actually driving someone to a junior golf tournament, and we got stuck in traffic up in Paso, which was 10 degrees cooler than here, by the way.
Oh. Pretty amazing. Very good. With that, staff, do you have any comments, final comments at this point before we adjourn the meeting.
Thank you for the opportunity. This is Whitney McDonald. I just would like to say thank you to Commissioner Sage for his service to the community on the commission. So I appreciate the time and energy you've put into serving the community, and I wish you and your family all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not seeing any additional staff communications or staff stepping up wishing to make any comments at this point. A fairly efficient meeting here this evening at 6:40 p.m. I hereby adjourn the meeting of the Planning Commission, City of Rio Grande. Thank you very much. Have a good evening, everybody.
Thank you.
You guys. Hi, everybody.